she think or what would she do? And as I've tried to examine what has been occurring, I just realized that there is an emptiness next to me, and that there is a lot of pain and suffering that you feel within as your life changes, and how people treat you, not that you've been unkind, but it's just different. And that the struggle that we go through with many of the problems that come up over how we deal with life and how our lives are changed, it hasn't changed my faith. I still believe that Jesus Christ is my Savior. But my heart is wounded, my spirit is hurt. And I know that many of you have felt the same thing. I'm not alone. But I'd like for you to think about those words that I've just said, especially as the lesson proceeds. If you would, turn to two passages. Luke chapter 5. Verses 1 through 10, and John 21, 1 through 17. I'm not going to read those. It would be a struggle for me to read those passages. But if you'll start with me in Luke chapter 5, we find where Jesus is in Galilee, and as he comes to the ocean, or to the sea there, he is calling out to Peter and to the other men in the boat. They fished all night. And in their fishing, they've caught nothing. And so he tells them to throw the net over. And I believe he says on the right side of the boat. And they haul in a great load of fishes. And as that load becomes, it breaks their nets, or it almost breaks their nets. And so Peter comes to the shore and recognizes how great the Lord is and how unworthy he is. In John 21, this is sometime after, 3 years after, that occurs. Peter has gone back to Galilee. And I'll get into that just a little more. But I want you to think about, here is a very similar kind of circumstance. Peter is back on his fishing boat. And there's no fish. And they see this vision of a person at the shore. And it tells them to cast their net again. And they have a huge catch of fish. Very, very similar. Just keep that in mind as well. And what I'd like you to kind of think about now with me is just the difference between an excuse and being forgiven. An excuse is a reason why something occurred or why something didn't occur. And we oftentimes want to find an excuse for what we've done or what we haven't done. Well, I was going to, but I ran out of time. Or, you know, I thought about that, but then I forgot. What kind of excuse can you give for the things that we commit or omit? Contrast that with the idea of forgiveness. You don't have a reason. You don't have an excuse. Forgiveness is where the Lord takes away your sins, not because you deserve it, or because you have had something that prevented you from doing what is right. You are forgiven because He did that. And His blood takes away those sins. Now, I want you to think about that as we go through the lesson with Peter here. And see the difference between excuses and forgiveness. How many of us, whenever we do something wrong, we've always got an excuse. We've always got a reason why, instead of just saying, "Lord, forgive me. I need your help." You know, in the first few centuries, this is the problem. In 250 AD, there was a persecution by the Roman Emperor, and it was very severe. And in that persecution, there were people who were being put to death because they would not worship the Emperor, would not renounce Jesus Christ. In 303 AD, there was Diocletian, and it was probably the worst persecution of the church in that early period. And again, people were put to the test to whether or not they would deny Jesus Christ. And in this one, they were actually told to take the books that they had and burn them. Take the Bible books, the Bible itself, and burn it. Both of those occurrences had people who, instead of standing and suffering for the cause of Christ, compromised. In 250 AD, they were called Latins. In 303, they were called Trajans. These were the people who found a way to compromise. In 303, I believe it was, they could receive a certificate saying that they had renounced Jesus Christ, but actually they hadn't. What did the early church do with people like that? One of the popes at that time said they're going to be excommunicated for the rest of their life. But another said, well, they have to sit out for a while and pay some penance. That's kind of the way I think we think nowadays. But is that forgiveness? Is that really how a person should look at this idea of forgiveness? And I believe that we can look at Peter and see a really good lesson about this whole concept of what he was doing. So I'd like for you to kind of take the time now and just look at what Peter was saying and what Jesus was saying. As the Christians were meeting in this early period of time, we don't know exactly what occurred in all of the meetings that happened. We do know that Jesus met with Peter at least two times, with met several of the apostles. He met with him the third time, as 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 4 tells us. Paul said that he met with Cephas. So apparently there was a meeting a third time. But in John 21, this is the fourth time that Jesus has met with Peter. And as I described a little while ago, Peter was out there fishing. He sees this figure on the land and realizes it's the Lord. Peter wraps his outer garment around him, dives into the water, and swims ashore. 100 yards. When they get to shore, and they get the fish to shore, they eat. They eat loaves and fishes. Probably not more than a few hundred yards away is where the feeding of the 5,000 had occurred. Loaves and fishes. But after that meal, Peter is dreading, I think, to some degree, this conversation with the Lord. The Lord turns to Peter and said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Now, why did he say Simon, son of John? Why did he say Peter? In each of the cases, as you read that there in John 21, he uses Simon, son of John, not Peter. He's not the rock yet. He's lost the rock. I think he goes on and regains it. But as Peter hears Jesus, in the Greek language, Jesus said, "Do you love me? Do you agape me?" But Peter's response back is, "Lord, I'm fond of you. I phileo." Jesus asked him again, "Peter, do you love me? Do you agape me?" And Peter responds, "Lord, I'm fond of you." Third time, Jesus says, "Peter, are you fond of me?" And Peter said, "Lord, you know all things. You know I love you." Much has been made about those differences of language. I think there's a reason why Peter answers the way he does. And it goes back to Peter himself. Now think about it. Peter, there at the Garden of Gethsemane, when the crowd comes up to get Jesus, he's ready. He takes that sword, he cuts off Malchus's ear, and he's ready to lead the charge. Even there's only a few of them there, but there gets the whole crowd. But he's ready to go. And what happens? Jesus said, "Put your sword away." And he heals Malchus's ear. And he lets him take it. Now Peter follows And he goes into the courtyard, and then three times he's going to deny Jesus. And it seems like there's an emphasis of getting harsher and harsher and harsher, his denial. As Peter is there, after the third time, the cock crows, and Jesus looks at Peter, and he weeps bitterly. How many of those people who were denying Jesus during those persecutions must have wept bitterly as well? How many of those who denied Jesus may have wept bitterly as well? Why did Peter struggle with such a confrontation? I believe you see something in the Lord's wisdom. When Peter goes back to, or the Lord doesn't really confront Peter until Peter's back in Galilee, where he's familiar with the landscape and with the place. I think he uses the loaves and the fishes to remind Peter of the things that he has done, the miraculous things. I think Peter is understanding that there is a real struggle here, that the Lord is not abandoning Peter as Peter abandoned him. Why such a difficult way of looking at what is going on with Peter? Because the Lord knows that in every instance of church discipline, there's always the positive presentation of this period of time when Peter is before the Lord. And can you imagine the pain and suffering that Peter went through on that night when he had betrayed Jesus? The pain, the suffering, the abandonment. It is, I think, very similar to what all of those of you and I that have lost love, I think Peter felt that kind of pain as well. The one-dimensional view of Peter betraying Jesus, yes, he betrayed him. But what was in Peter's mind? What was in his heart? How did he feel when he saw them taking Jesus away, when he had seen the scourging of Christ? What kind of pain and agony must have been there? Now, look into your own heart. That confusion, that suffering, that pain in all of us, all who are here, done through something. But look at Jesus' response to Peter. It wasn't that there was, why did you do this, Peter? How come? You should not have done that. You shouldn't have abandoned me. Feed my sheep. Actually, it says, feed my lambs.
Pretty much you, three times, just like this tonight, just like Lord, do you love me? You know, sheep, a pretty dirty animal. I know you see the little lambs, everybody loves little lambs, but they're nasty. They have ticks, they have lice, and everything. You have different chemicals. To really take care of that sheep, you've got to take care of that one. There's all kinds of a lesson there, but think about that for a minute. Here, you're dipping those sheep into the tanks, and you know they're coming out, they smell, they panic, they run everywhere. Now, when Jesus said, feed my sheep, he's talking about church people. And I don't think you are, I'm not going to say that there's an exact parallel there about dirty animals and lice and fleas and so forth, but let me tell you, spiritually, we have things that are wrong with us. We have problems. We have issues. And oftentimes, I think we have the struggles that come with just being human. Here's the Lord. He says, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. You know, the Lord died for those sheep. He died in such a way that was painful and agonizing for him as well. He left heaven to come to earth to take the form of a human and to be nailed on the cross. Is it such a big thing for us to go and knock on the door next door and say, would you like to come up and study the Bible? Is it too much to think that are we too busy to do the things that would help encourage other people? The lesson is about yours. I would like to do this. You know, when Peter was standing at the shore, on the boat, and he saw Jesus on the shore, he dived out into the Sea of Galilee and swam ashore and met the Lord. This group of people right here is like the Sea of Galilee. You can come up, you can come out of it, you can be restored. But I would like to say one more thing. It doesn't have to be sin that brings a person to ask for the prayers of the saints. In fact, I think in some ways, that's a private thing. You can deal with that with the Lord. If it's a public sin, then that may be another thing. But when a person, when we look out among ourselves and we see what we need, how many of us are just needing to have that kind of help, that prayer, because we've suffered the same kinds of pain and agony Peter suffered, that many of us have suffered as well. My friends, don't let something stop you from getting the real